Hi, I'm Kristen.
And I'm her little brother, William.
We're from the podcast Guide to the Unknown, where we only talk about scary stuff and have a good time doing it.
Come join the scary fun, everyone.
Wherever you get your podcasts, you'll find Guide to the Unknown.
Greetings, constant listeners. It's Jen 2, The Rage Adams. What you're about to hear is a clip from our Patreon exclusive episode that sees the losers taking inventory on the highs and lows of the horror genre in 2022. Rest assured, Stephen King's place in it all is discussed. So how do you hear the full thing? You can get it now by becoming a member of our Patreon, The Barons. In addition to this episode, you can also unlock hundreds of hours worth of exclusive content. Our Stephen King archival series, our own Dark Tower Detour series, our Spooky Souls Midnight series, our Stranger Things spinoff series, our Michael Crichton spinoff series, dozens of commentaries on all your favorite Stephen King movies, and countless exclusive episodes just like this. Subscribe now through the link in the description of this episode or visit www.patreon.com/thebarons. Hope to see you there over long days and pleasant nights.
I was looking at my top movies of last year, and I only have one on there that could, well, maybe two that could be conceivably called horror movies, and they're both pretty loose definitions of it. Whereas this year, the top of my list is pretty much dominated by things I would consider horror, because I think it's a better year. Whereas last year, it's like, it really wasn't. Titan, the Julie DeCorno movie, which I guess you can call horror, but I think it's kind of a loosey-goosey sort of thing. That movie is just really impressive, and I haven't stopped thinking about it. I would never want to watch it again. But and then the Scary of 61st, which is Dasha Nekrasova's movie about women who become obsessed with Jeffrey Epstein, which is a movie I appreciate it. It's very low budget, and there are parts of it that really don't work because it's so low budget. But I think it's such a unique concept, and there are scenes in it that are just genuinely, truly chilling and really wild and over the top. I really loved it because it really channeled, 70s grime and vibes. And I love Epstein content. What can I say? I'm a
can't
big
get
freak.
Enough.
Yeah. Can't get enough, man. Bring it on. More docuseries. Okay, so I don't know. I thought that was a good question because I was thinking it really wasn't a great year for horror last year.
No, it really wasn't. Yeah.
Real stinker.
Yeah, I was like looking at it. And yeah, like Night House was a bright spot. Like Deep House was a bright spot, I think. And then The Vigil, obviously. Although The Vigil, like there's like... That came out like it was pretty murky there too, where it was like
exactly.
2020, but then also 2021, then it's like the dash cam situation, which I did count as a 2022 horror movie because I'll probably mention that later.
You know, it's a movie though that of 2021 that I forgot about, and it's I think it has a special place in my heart because it was one of the first times we returned to the theaters was.
Spiral?
Spiral Malignant? Was fun, but like, I hated Malignant. But,
Resident Evil.
I didn't like it either, and everyone else did.
It was driving me nuts. Man. That was like my, that was just not a fun time for me because I was just like, what am I missing here? But Resident Evil, Welcome to Raccoon City, I had so much fun watching that movie with you, Randall, and like, I revisited it this past year just during the summer, and the movie's still really fun. Like, I'm just looking at like, I usually go to Google. And type in the images, and you can just see all the posters and stuff. And that one just came out, and I was like, oh, that was 2021. Like, for some reason, like, 2020, 2021, and then parts of 2022 still blend together for me. Like, it still feels
they're the missing years of our lives.
Yeah. I remember after finishing Resident Evil, we were like, definitely had its problems, but really hope it gets a sequel, but it's not looking likely at this point. I think it scratched, as you and I grew up playing those games, it really scratched a lot of itches, but also had the right tone, I think. And and it was Johan Roberts, right, who did 47 Meters Down. He's really good, and he also did my favorite short in VHS 99, which came out this year. So he's a director to watch. Not really, he's already established, but okay. So let's talk about movies, movie questions. And I guess this is sort of a natural lead-in. Like, we've all kind of agreed that last year was a rough year for horror. This was at least a better year for horror. At least I know Ashley feels that way. Mike, Jen, do you guys feel that this was a good year for horror?
Absolutely. Yeah, it was a fantastic year for horror. I think because there were like big movies, there was IP, there were sequels, there were remakes.
Indie. Exactly.
And a lot of indie. Like, I feel like the past 2 years have really been dominated by these indie movies, which a lot, some of them are great, but I feel like a lot of times the really low budget ones are hit or miss. And, you know, a lot of times depends on your own, like what you bring to the movie. But this one, I feel like there's just so many. There's something for everybody. You know, I'm looking through because you made a list that you sent to all of us, and I was looking through and I was really having a hard time picking a favorite because there are so many that I really liked, you know.
Yeah. So, I mean,
it's embarrassment of riches.
I agree. Yeah. That's a perfect way to describe it, because I was thinking about it and I was like, wow, really did hit the boxes for quantity and quality for me. Like, I think we just, I mean, I wrote such a stupid fucking PR sentence about this in my notes. It was like, we had a true bounty of horror releases this year. It's just like, what a fucking lame ass sentence. But like, I mean, you're right, Jenna. It really was an embarrassment. I mean, it was just, there was so much eclecticism and there were so many original stories that I was kind of surprised, because I think one of the things I always just harp on so much is just the fact that, oh, it's another sequel. Oh, here we got another remake and another reboot. And like, yeah, we had some sequels and we had some remakes, but not really in the horror genre. Like, the horror genre itself this year, we just had a lot of originality. And, you know, in terms of whether or not it really landed on the execution front, obviously we'll debate that. But like, I think for the most part, like, it was very rare for me to walk away from most of these movies and go, oh, that was genuinely awful. Whereas like, I look at the 2021 movies and there are so many movies that I would never want to watch again. Like, I just think about some of the movies that released that year and I'm just like, oh God, I would lose my mind if I had to rewatch this movies again. And box office wise, when you think about it, so this year, you know, obviously the year isn't over yet, but let's be real. It's not like Violent Night's going to be ratcheting up the fucking or changing the things. But I will say, like, it, you know, $643 million in horror box office revenue. Wow. And that's just domestic. That's strictly domestic. Now, compared to 2021, that was $580 million. And here's the twist, though. And the reason why 2021 was so high is that Halloween Kills did huge at the box office in 2021. You know, it still did fine here. It did 64 for Halloween Ends, but Halloween Kills did 92. But the big thing that just kind of put 2021 over the map was The Quiet Place Part 2. Whereas here's the distinguishing factor. You know what was the number one horror movie this year?
This year?
Yeah.
This year?
Mm-hmm. Smile.
Scream?
Nope.
It wasn't Smile?
No.
Oh,
it's up there.
It wasn't Scream. Was it
Halloween? It's so close. Nope, it's Nope.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So look, that, I mean, think of it this way. So the first two movies that are the highest grossing films this year, Nope, Smile, The Black Phone. Those are the first three. Now, granted, one of them is an adaptation. Here are the top three for last year in 2021. A Quiet Place Part 2, Halloween Kills, The Conjuring.
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of a huge, great 180 in my opinion.
I agree. Yeah. And that's a good sign, because hopefully that means they'll be, you know, greenlighting more original horror movies.
Yeah. Oh, they definitely will. I know, like, Paramount's brought on a new, like, director just for horror. So,
oh, that's great.
Ooh. It's going to be great.
And even the, like, remake / IP / stuff we already know still felt really original, too.
I agree.
I don't feel like I've really watched any retreads this year, you know?
Well, maybe. We'll get to it.
Yeah, there's maybe some, but I will say, like, we have a category later, like, best use of IP, and I included that because I was like, there actually were some clever spins on IP this year, whereas, like, when I watched Conjuring 3 last year, I was like, this is the worst version of this movie I could ever imagine.
We were, like, texting each other back and forth.
Yeah. Wait, what, Mike?
I remember just like us texting each other back and forth and losing our minds about that movie. It's just being what is going on in this fucking film? Like, this is insane.
Why is this 2.5 hours?
Yeah.
I feel like last year, though, the big breakout movie, although I'd love to know if other people on this call were into it, but like Malignant, I feel like was the big breakout last year. But I know Mike and I were not hot on that movie, although I agree the last 25 minutes, 30 minutes is pretty cool. That's like when it was fun, but the rest of that movie was rough for me. But like, yeah, Ashley, you said you weren't a fan. Yeah.
No. Nope. I know, I just like quietly shook my head on this audio program, but no, I was not a fan of Malignant.
Why didn't you like
it?
Murder in America is a true crime podcast that covers stories from all 50 states, including stories of mass shootings, serial killers, and lesser-known murders. Do you find yourself doing more research after listening to a true crime show? Well, Courtney and I used to do the same thing, and that's why we created Murder in America. Our podcast dives deep into each case. Our storytelling will make you feel like you're right there within the case with us, watching it all play out, and we do not shy away from the graphic details. If you're a fan of true crime, then listen to Murder in America on Spotify now.
Every town has its dark history. Hometown Ghost Stories is a paranormal podcast that goes town to town all across the globe, exploring the world's most haunted places, tapping into the dusty archives and the darkest corners to bring you the most terrifying stories of real people and their harrowing experiences. Hometown Ghost Stories dives into the history of haunted locations and investigates why and how these places earned their terrifying reputation. Rob, Dave, and Jesse go live every Tuesday night after an uninterrupted documentary-style breakdown on the case, followed by an open discussion with live viewers. Subscribe today to listen to Hometown Ghost Stories on your preferred podcast platform or watch the video version on YouTube and now Spotify. Head on over to the Bloody FM Podcast Network and check out Hometown Ghost Stories, if you're brave enough.